Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein and Dr. Mary Oberstein from LifeWest, the presidential spouse and the president, coming at you for another edition of our Life by LifeWest. Today, we've got a really cool guest, someone that I've known since he was in school. He's a LifeWest graduate. He graduated in 2018. And we have Dr. Tim Saltes. Tim, great to see you, man.
Great to see you. Thanks for having me.
I'll give you a little bit about Tim, because I met Tim when I was in school. He is one of the most left and right brain balanced people that I've met on the planet, probably. His heart is so huge and he can tap into it. His brain is just firing on more cylinders than what's in there. He's a Cairo kid. His father's a chiropractor in Portugal. He was born in Portugal. He's got an English accent. You'll hear that in a minute. His sister's a chiropractor and she practices with her husband, who's a chiropractor. They graduated from the Wales College, and they're in the UK. They're over in Cambridge. And Tim was over there and decided to become a chiropractor. And they said, you're going to LifeWest. You're not going anywhere else. That's a story you told me a while back. And he came to LifeWest and ended up finding his soulmate, his beautiful wife, and she's Canadian. She graduated in 2016 from LifeWest, and her name was Madeline Platt, and probably still is, but I don't know if she took on your last name.
Stay the same.
There you go.
Strong, independent woman.
I love it, Dr. Madeline Platt, and they have just a phenomenal practice in Calgary, Canada, and Alberta, called Connected Chiropractic. I can see it right behind you. And they also have a beautiful child, a young daughter named Eris. And they're really just kind of building this life that's so gorgeous. And Tim, we're going to jump in and talk about kind of what you're doing. I'm thrilled to have you. When I saw that you're on my schedule, it's like, we got you, you know, got a deal. So, Mary, I can jump. You can jump. How do you want to start?
Let me jump. I'll give you a break from talking for a minute.
There you go. Appreciate it.
So as Ron said, you're a Cairo kid. And yeah. I love hearing the stories, because I want to ask how your journey got started, because a lot of times Cairo kids, everyone just has an assumption of why you're a chiropractor. And it may be true, but everyone has a different story. So can you did you know you were going to be a chiropractor when you were younger? Like, how did that journey start?
For the first 21 years of my life, the only thing I knew I was never going to be was a chiropractor. Absolutely. And absolutely was not what I wanted to do, just because it was the family trade. Yeah. And then my sister and brother-in-law that you mentioned earlier, Dr. Ron, you know, they really asked me some really important questions. I reflected on them, and I came to realize that I cared about studying the body, how it works, not medicines or surgeries. And I reflected on my values, and it was a no-brainer. Had to be a chiropractor.
What path were you on at that time?
I was going to be a medical doctor. I was applying to medical schools, and I wanted to be a neurologist.
Wow.
Nice. And I know when you were here, I mean, you were doing amazing things when you were here. Your clinical practice was great. But I know that you had a passion at that point for functional neurology, right? And I remember you went up to Red Deer and worked for a very renowned doctor up there, you know, who's doing functional neurology. And so give us a little bit about that journey, how that took place.
Yeah, it actually started, right at the same time as I met LifeWest, as my sister and brother-in-law were trying to convince me that chiropractic, might be the route for me, while trying to give me some independence of choice. They told me about functional neurology, and I'd never heard of it. And their approach of meeting success with the level of understanding of how you know the nervous system works really piqued my interest and really aligned with, you know, my conclusion of I want to know how the body works. I don't care so much about using methods like cutting through surgery or chemicals through medication to make a difference. I want to know how the body works. And functional neurology allows me to do that. When I was in Red Deer for 2.5 years, I learned under Dr. Norman Hoffman. And I feel like that just piqued my training and really propelled that.
I love it. I love it. And then we're going to get into what you're doing at Connected. But I, you know, Mira, if you don't mind, I really want to go into something because I know from our daughters, you know, we've got three daughters that are chiropractors and one graduated after you, one graduated, you know, just I think one after you or right around the time. Sydney, you were in school with Sydney.
Oh, yeah.
Morgan graduated in 2015, I believe, and Lauren graduated in 2013. Your generation, I'm going to call you guys all in the same generation, your communication to chiropractic is exquisite. And Tim, I know you're a phenomenal communicator because I've witnessed you at the college and I've seen, you know, you deal with all the things that you're involved in at the school when I got here and throughout the time I was here. I just want to talk to you about the communication because I think there's ways that your group, you know, communicates chiropractic differently. It's all the same thing. It's about, you know, increasing the function of the nervous system, having more connection between the brain and, you know, and the tissue cell, you know, but in my day and Mary's day, if I could say, you know, when we first started, it was like hard bone on soft nerve, you know, nerve over here, you know, that kind of thing. You know, that's the way that we were communicating. And then we started communicating the subluxation and different patterns, but we weren't really talking brain health, right?
Right.
Things like that. And I want our viewers to know this because I know that you communicate so exquisitely. You know, tell us, you know, how you're communicating and what you're doing with that.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying. I don't know if I can speak on behalf of an entire generation of chiropractors.
Missed you.
But the way, you know, the way my brain goes to work, and if we dive into half of what you said at the start, with my very left-brained approach. And so I appreciate the compliment. Maybe I also have a bit of a right brain there too, but it's just picking up on clues that the body gives. And I think, you know, the diving into functional neurology has given me that opportunity to think quite analytically, which isn't always the most helpful thing, but I think in communication, it's been helpful. And so functional neurology, you know, it starts with, well, how does any living being work? How can they thrive above just working or surviving, right? And when you understand how a living being, a living cell, a living tissue can thrive, then you start being able to figure out and tease out components of that there. And so we know that as humans, we need our brains thriving. And so one of the logical questions is, well, how does your brain receive information to be able to create outputs, right? And the answer to that is the senses. And the interesting thing that I've found is I feel like there's more that we can take advantage of that's right at our disposal as chiropractors to maximize communication with that. And it is through one of the senses, but it's one of the hidden senses. Not many people talk about it.
I love it.
I love it, Tim. Well, and I was going to ask you, because that was going to be my first question too, is like, you know, as chiropractors, when we're explaining, especially to lay people, we have to like, I can't think of another word other than dumb it down.
Yeah.
Right. I want to hear you do that.
Great. So yeah, well, you know, in my ROF, every single time I give three reasons as to why we care about the bones, about the person's bones, about their bones there. And the third reason I think is pertinent to this. The first reason is the bones protect the spinal cord, and the spinal cord is the extension of the brain into the body. And the second reason are the nerves that leave the spine at every level, and those nerves go to all of your organs, and we want the spine moving well so that the nerve supply can be as healthy as possible. And the third reason is that your spine is alive. Your spine is an organ itself. Your spine is not just a stack of bricks. Your spine sends information into your brain, helping it determine if it can step out of a stress state and into a state of healing.
I love it.
Wow.
How did you get it?
That's like the best explanation I've ever heard. Like, again, pretending that I don't know anything about the body. You made it simple, yeah, yet like intricate, like you made it important yet simple.
Well, and
not pain-based.
Yeah. And not pain-based,
you know, even though, you know, pain can be taken care of, but it's not pain-based. It's really about structure equals function is really what's there. So Tim, when you have, you know, when you're communicating chiropractic, because I know you're not just doing functional neurology in your office, is that correct?
Yeah, correct. More.
What are you doing? Yeah. Just share with our audience the kind of what Connected Chiropractic is about, and then I'll ask my question.
Absolutely. We're a family-based office with training and experience and a passion for keeping families well. So that definitely includes kids, pediatric care, perinatal care for pregnant moms. That's a big drive into the office. And from there, when there's opportunities, you know, we also get to dive into functional neurology. And we're not attached to any one type of adjusting technique. We are trained in a variety from diversified Gonstead instrument-based adjusting, SOT and more, because we believe that there's a different types of chiropractic that can help different people. And we're happy to be able to be trained in quite a few types.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I got my question, but I want you to just explain, you know, first of all, how old is Aris?
Aris is 7, nearly 8 months.
Okay. And explain the name Aris.
Yes. Aris is the Greek goddess of destruction and strife, which sounds quite dark and ominous, but there's another side to it. And the other side of it is that with the destruction comes the opportunity to start and to create anew. And that's where we found a lot of beauty and power.
Wow, that is so cool. And did you find that definition out after or before?
Before.
Okay.
Before.
I figured.
Somebody made a joke that they said, well, you just wait till they're a teenager and you might regret that. But
oh, no. It'll be the second part when they're a teenager. Yes. So my question to you is this. You know, you've got a family practice. You're taking care of from anywhere from prenatal, perinatal, pregnancy, you know, infants, you know, all that stuff. And then you probably take care of all kinds of neurological things and whatever. So you've got the whole gamut there, right? And even though you have the whole gamut there, your communication to your patients, I mean, obviously we always tailor it, right? Based on whoever's sitting in front of us, what they're, you know, what's going on with them. But you have this amazing ability to communicate optimal health, you know, optimal function, right? That kind of thing. And talk to us about how the brain plays into that, because, you know, the brain is such a huge piece, and how it doesn't have to be at your ROF, but how do you bring the brain into the pattern when you're talking about the spine and then we talk about the brain? Drop some bombs on that.
Well, it starts on day one with practice members, and I appreciate, you know, trying to make a distinction between, you know, it doesn't have to be in the practice setting itself, but for us it's integrated with that. And I start with that same explanation that I did on the first day. And then I turn it on its backside and I ask the practice member to restate the three things. And I push them a little bit. I give them a model and I have them do that. But it you know, the end of the third explanation finishes with the brain, and it can't not finish with the brain, because, you know, even if you're in a pain-based model, pain is perception of nociception in the brain, and so it all comes back to the brain there. In our practice, we definitely have make use of what we call nervous system scans, which I know LifeWest you know, has it in its clinic. You know, we care a lot about HRV, so we have measurable ways to be able to get across important objective visuals and good understanding for the public that regardless of what you might be feeling, and even though we can, you know, and acknowledge that the spine is very structural, and from the outside what chiropractors do might be very structural, there is always a neurological component to it. And it's not a belief, it's not, you know, just if you know and understand anatomy, then you can't deny it. It's undeniable. It just is.
Right, right. And in that realm, on the science base, right? You know, talk to us about that and how you communicate that. Because obviously, you know, you're very philosophical on one hand, and then you're very scientific on the other. That's that right and left brain, right? How do you portray that, like, especially with the science around it?
Well, if you know, if I'm following the question write. What I think what I'm developing a passion for is communicating a bit of a gap in the, not necessarily the knowledge, because everybody knows this, but I don't think the dots have been connected around it. And so if you ask, you know, the layperson, what type of doctors are chiropractors? What would they say? You are a blank doctor. What would you guys guess?
The lay people? I don't have to guess. I can tell.
I would say they would say bone.
A bone doctor, absolutely, right? And what do vitalistic? Doctor, yeah. Or a back doctor, but absolutely right? Bone. So if we're following this example, and what do vitalistic chiropractors like to call ourselves?
Doctors of the nervous system.
That's right, nervous system doctors. So you get a bone doctor, you get a nervous system doctor, right? And the nervous system doctor, I get it, and it's fair, and I understand it. But you know, there's a lot to it, and you know, you know, medical neurologists might not love that. Functional neurologists, I have no problem with that. But you know, people who have training in functional neurology might dive even a level deeper than chiropractors without functional neurology training into the nervous system. But if you bridge the two, what do we get? The joint. The joint is full of neurology, so much neurology. And this is not me creating something new. Dan Murphy is all about the joint and a lot, right? But if you can picture being in one of Dan Murphy's classes where, you know, if we're talking to Life West people, I'm sure you know about Dan Murphy. You've probably been in one or more of his classes and you're drawing joints, right? And that powered with for instance, the hard research that Heidi Havoc is putting out of New Zealand and with all of her colleagues and partners across the world, there's just so much potential to help educate the public and other professionals, I believe, in focusing in on the joint. And so my proposal, which I don't know if it'll step on people's toes, is to just consider maybe we are joint doctors. And I know it's not the sexiest thing or to at face value, but there's the hard research to back it up. There's the anatomy to know that is the thing. And you know, maybe a bit of a humorous part here is, for either of you, Dr. Ron or Dr. Mary, when was the last time you adjusted the shaft of a humerus? There's no joint there, but it's a bone, right? You don't adjust the bone, you adjust the joint.
Right.
And so just some, it may be a different perspective.
That's so cool. Cause you're right. That like, as you're speaking about that, like, when Ron talked about how we explain chiropractic and how my kids had to teach me when they came into the practice, they had to teach me how to communicate it differently to match them about bringing the brain more into it. Right. And you're right. Never talked about the joints. And yet you read all these research articles and a lot of it is all about the joints.
And there's the direct connection from the joint to the brain. If you know anatomy, can't deny it. Not deniable. No.
And I feel like it's really not, it's like not talked about. Like, is that, I kind of feel like watching you, listening to you speak about it. Is this your passion?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's kind of what I feel.
Yeah. And the other piece is this, you know, when we talk about the vertebral subluxation, right? You know, there's five different, you know, components of the subluxation, from pathophysiology to, you know, all the different physiological components that are there. Right. And one of them is the joint. One of them, it, you know, talks about the proprioception, mechanoreception, all these things that happen within there. And there's so much that goes on, but you know, Tim, I got to tell you, because when you said that, I said, you might be stepping on people's toes. You know, I felt like something went on my big toe, you know, because when I think of a joint, I think of something different than a spine. You know, I'm just teasing.
Right.
But I'm thinking of, you know, because once again, we could be thinking about an elbow joint. We could be thinking about a finger joint. We could be thinking about all kinds of stuff. But the truth is there's a way to incorporate all of that together because really what we access when we correct a subluxation, you know, in the spine is we are working with the joint that's there, right?
Yeah.
To reposition, you know, or allow the intelligence to reposition because we don't do it, right? You know, we put the educated force in and allow that to take place. And it's a huge piece.
I would love to add one quick part here if I can.
You can add anything you want, dude. You are like the man right now.
Right, like talking about brain health with this, right? So originally I talked about the senses, right? And we all learned the five senses that are mostly on our face, right? And that help the brain understand what output to create at any point in time, right? Eyes, ears, tongue, so on and so forth. And consider how many of each do you have, right? You only have two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, one tongue, and we have one suit of skin. Right? The two hidden senses, one is the inner ear, the vestibular system, and the other sense, which is throughout all of the big neuroscience textbooks, is the sense of proprioception, which is joint position sense. But they don't teach us that in school. So my question to both of you is, how many joints come directly off of the spine?
I'll let you answer that, Mary.
But seriously, well, right? Think about that. How many bones are in the spine?
Well, 24. So we're looking at 48. But then again, the atlas, I don't know how to articulate right. that, right?
So, I know. But what year
and
are
then
we
the cranium,
in?
Right?
And bear with me, absolutely. But let's just make it simple for people, right? For now, as simple as we can. How many years have we been around and chiropractors have not counted the number of joints that come directly off of the spine mm-hmm. as a source of sensory information into the brain? Remember, you only have two eyes, two ears, you know, one tongue, so on and so forth. How many joints are there? I do have the number. I started counting this in Life West and I've been revising it over. And in 2020, I published a news article for the United Chiropractic Association in England. So I was like, I had to commit to a number, but there's no source out there. And I think it's incredible to think of. So I'm gonna give you a clue. If you're rooted in philosophy, you will go far. And there's no better time to share this information right now than this year. What year was chiropractic founded?
1895.
How old is chiropractic?
What chiropractic right now is 125
and 23. So 128 years.
127, because we're not quite at the birthday.
Yeah, we're not at September.
Right.
Yeah. Right? 127. That's the number.
That's the number?
And I have the master list because it sounds too incredulous.
How do you get that out of 24 vertebrae? And, you know, I mean, that's beautiful, man.
I have the master list.
And you spent the time at Life West and the last 7 years or 6 years counting them.
In 2020, I had to commit because I had this thought and I ended up publishing it. It's not peer reviewed, but I want to share as much as possible. So I want to know if I'm wrong, right? Like, but I want that question out there. How many joints are in this come directly off of the spine so that chiropractors can use that to help others understand that your brain requires sensory input to create adequate responses.
Yeah.
And your spine has at least, my opinion, 127 sources of sensory input, where everything else you only have two of, or one of if it's the tongue or the suit of skin. 127.
So you're counting like the unseen process, everything, right?
Absolutely.
Anything where there's drug. Man, Tim, that is so cool.
That's
that
really
is
cool.
Going to be my next quiz question when I'm out, you know, speaking with doctors, if I'm raffling something off, how many joints come off the spine? 127. And if they question me on it, I'm going to refer them to your paper. Okay.
Great. Perfect.
You're my source, brother. You're my source.
I was going to say, we might need to print that paper out so that you can actually give it to somebody.
Yeah, I think we should.
I can send it to you, and I can send you the list. And again, I could be wrong, and I hope I am, because that means more people will be thinking about it. But I have all the joints in there that I can think of, all the synovial joints attached directly to anywhere off of the spine.
And it's so interesting because someone could be saying, so big deal is 127, but what they're not really getting is that's 127 sources input, right?
Exactly right.
Into the brain. And that's where the effectiveness, when Heidi does her research and shows that, you know, cervical spine adjustments, you know, open up and, you know, go to the prefrontal cortex and they show it lighting up and all these things happening, you know, but when you look at the whole spine and 127 neurological inputs coming just from there, that directly, as I'm reading this, and tell me if I'm wrong, you know, professor, but, you know, as I'm reading this, those go directly into the nervous system. And I know that the elbow joint might and the baby finger joint might, but
also,
yeah.
We just don't talk about those because those aren't as exciting, right?
That's exactly right.
Those aren't sexy.
Dude, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So I know that we're kind of running near the end of our time together. And so I have a question. So it's going to be a huge pivot right now, but since we're getting ready to like tie things up. So I love everything you said. How do you and I know you're philosophically strong and philosophically based. How you explained it, it was very much sciencey. So how do you tie the philosophy in? Again, speaking to a layperson, like how does that come into play when you're talking about this? Or does it?
It doesn't. And, you know, if I can share it, you know, I often have a harder time speaking about philosophy than I do the science because of my inclinations, but it is there. And I do in my own way work it in because of with my understanding of science and physics also, I always have to try to find some sort of left brain, reason, but the philosophy is there. And so I think hope is a big deal. And one thing that I think is different in the communication strategies potentially among generations is, you know, what I would go to Life West and hear of all these stories of all, you know, some legendary chiropractors shout at their practice members of patients, you know, to heal. Why isn't your body healing? Right. And to expect and demand that because they knew that that was the potential. And maybe now we've backed off of that a little bit because we want to be as polite and as kind as possible. And in that, maybe we were missing an opportunity to create short of saying the word demand, which says that this seems a little scary in this day and age, right? But like there's reason to have hope. We should have that, but we should also be letting our practice members know that because fundamentally our bodies, nervous systems are designed to heal and to work well and to thrive. But if people don't know that that isn't an expectation, then they're not going to get it. If they're not going to get it from us, they're not going to get it from anywhere else. I am working in ways to do that.
Yeah. And I think, Tim, what I'm getting, I'm just going to paraphrase, but what's kind of coming into my nervous system is giving them permission to heal. Mm. You know, because and however that permission comes, but it could be shouting, you got the ability to heal. It's all in you. Or it could be you got the ability to heal. You do the healing. And I love that. Listen, I got one last question for you, and then we got to kind of wrap it up. And we could talk forever. We'll get you back on the Life by Life West. But my question to you is this, and I ask this to you in a very humble manner, because I know how you study science. I know, you know, your love for chiropractic growing up as a chiro kid. I know your passion for your family. I just know you as a person and you're very passionate. But I also know that your brain doesn't stop. And we've had discussions about that many, many years ago. You got a new daughter, you know, you got a new, relatively new practice, right? You know, you're doing all these really cool things. And what else are you doing? I just know in there's got to be something that you're doing on a hobby side or whatever else, on an educational side, anything you're doing.
Well, I've actually partnered up with another Life West grad and Dr. Sean DeLima Thiel, and we are doing our best to try to create good usable content through a company called Cortical Media.
Okay. And what is it? Is it pamphlets? Is it what?
It's visual educational content, and so the primary form right now is through posters, educational posters that hopefully are revamping the chiro world a little bit.
We're going to put the website on the bottom so people can get that. But can I share with you something about Dr. Sean? He painted a picture for me when I became president. It was a gift from the student council. And people don't know this, but people collect his art, and especially around here. And it was just amazing. In fact, I've had doctors in the college come up to me and say, can I please, they're willing to like trade me their firstborn because they literally are doing collections of this stuff. A phenomenal, phenomenal artist. And not just that, but a wonderful human being, a very gentle person who's just got, you know, such exquisite talent that comes through and, you know, just beautiful, really, really connected. Dude, this was wonderful. We so appreciate having you on. And I was just so thrilled to see that you're on our schedule. And
thank you. I had fun.
Thank you. You know, you're just amazing. Please, you know, give our regards to your wife and of course, you know, with your daughter. I hope she's in that destructive pattern for a little bit because that beautiful rebirth and anew will be coming out of it. But we always end with a couple of questions. I'm going to let Mary start our Life by Life West guests just share with us what hit you right from the very beginning.
Okay. Knowing what you know now, if you could go back in time in a time machine, and we can go back to the first day of you in first quarter, and you're going to tap yourself on the shoulder and you're going to give yourself some advice, what would you say?
I'm going to take half a second to think about that. First quarter.
First quarter. You're just about to start your journey at LifeWest. And knowing what you know now, what advice would you give yourself?
I would say have fun with it. Have fun with it. It's a fun process. And I think it's easy to get caught up in the little milestone markers to work towards. This test and this class, and I need this as a prerequisite, and you know, first adjusting, you know, learning anatomy, and then this is motion palpation. Just have fun throughout. You know, there are those steps, but take a moment to zoom out and know that, you know, this is one of the most intense and most rewarding periods probably of your life to date.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. I like how you said zoom out.
Love it. I love it. All right, I'm doing the second question, Tim. Same question, actually, but now you're speaking to Dr. Tim Salty's just graduated. What do you tell him, this young doctor who's just ready to go out and change the world? What do you tell him from what you know now? What words of wisdom?
You know, maybe not to take a more serious turn, but that one I think comes a little more easily, is to ask for help. It's okay to ask for help. No need to reinvent the wheel. A lot of people have done a lot of really positive, successful things out there, and take advantage of that in a very mindful way. Give credit where credit is due, but ask for help so that you can have time to focus on what you care most about.
Oh, that's great, man. That's beautiful. Wow. I'm not ready to end, but we got to end, Tim. No, your wife is waiting for you. I know that. And she said that you had to be there at the top of the hour. We're just hitting it right now. So
yeah,
we got 2 minutes to be able to wrap this up. Mary, this was incredible. I mean,
yeah, I learned a lot.
It was just great. And listen, thank you, Tim. Thank you for spending, you know, the last whatever minutes with us. We just so appreciate having you, and I miss you. And I miss seeing you, and I know that we'll see you. I'll be coming up to Alberta pretty soon to bring a LifeWest presidential dinner. So we will see you there, you and your wife and your beautiful daughter.
Yes. Yes.
But also thank you to our viewers. Guys, thank you for checking in week after week and hearing our guests. So, you know, Dr. Tim dropped a ton of beautiful, amazing, amazing jewels on us today. So, you know, I know you'll re-listen. I'm going to re-listen to this. Re-listen to it. Share it with other people. Because you're spreading this, we're getting out there all over. And really, it's not about us. It's about the message and any kind of communication that we can give to be able to help people learn more about our wonderful profession within our profession and also on the outside. So thank you for that. We drop these Life by Life Watts every other week. The opposite weeks are Life Leadership Lines. Plug into all of them, any of them. We also have a podcast, so get involved on the podcast, and you know, you can listen to this while you're driving or wherever you're going. But we appreciate you, and as long as we keep getting the positive feedback that we get, we're going to keep doing these, you know, for a long time to come. So thank you. And Tim, thank you again. And Mary, of course, thank you. I love doing these with you. And just to all of our viewers, just keep loving those people around you, educate them, and let them know there's always new ways to educate, always new ways to bring information to people. But make sure that you hug those that are close to you and keep, you know, spreading the love. And let's make this world the best place it can possibly be, which I know we can do through the work that we do. Cool. So until we see you again, between myself and Tim and Mary, we'll bid you adieu and we'll come back at you very, very shortly. Love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.